Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is August 14th, 2017. I guess over the weekend, we passed our two-year anniversary here with UCY.TV. And as I stated on Thursday, I don't have a guest today. I am going to be reading some stories. You know, our show when we started originally was really just to highlight really the nuclear news that no one talks about, those stories about the nuclear waste, the abuses of the nuclear industry, to give voice. I started interviewing people in St. Louis to give voice to people who are just not heard on mainstream media. I actually really believe that it would make a difference. Ding. Yeah, I'm not so sure it does. And I'm actually after 2 years, to be honest. I used to have full of hope and optimism, and now I'm really have to work. I do tapping, thank goodness, and I actually am able to find a way back up. I am actually really discouraged by people's lack of concern. Over the weekend, we saw outrage as a young woman got plowed down by a fascist. You know, what was not covered, and I heard it only briefly on the news and it got drowned out, was that reporters were having urine thrown on them by the Nazis. Pastors were being beaten up. Black pastors were being beaten up. The rise of white nationalism, of white racism, is really, I guess it's called white supremacy. Well, let's just call it for what it is, white male supremacy, because they certainly don't want to liberate women. It's not really a rise. This is something that's been going on. And as many people who voted for Trump will tell me directly, at least he says what we've been thinking. And is there any wonder that nobody gives a crap whether their kids are getting cancer or dying? Children are dying of cancer. People are having miscarriages. Children are born with birth defects that, yeah, that are manageable, but cause quality of life issues. And this is the country that we actually really live in, folks. This is who we really are right now. The reason Trump got elected and was allowed to, whatever, I personally think that he was selected by the CIA. I think I've said this many times. I think he's a CIA asset, him and Kim Jong-un. Right on cue, boom, let's pull up the North Korea threat to make everybody really anxious, to take us off of the story that Paul Manafort had his house raided by the FBI at, or, you know, pre-dawn hours, which in order to get into his house with that type of a warrant, they had to prove to a judge why they needed that to happen. So this whole thing that Rush is a non-story is just, again, more of America's arrogance. I mean, People that say that Donald Trump is fighting the deep state don't get it. He is the deep state. If you hadn't noticed, he's going after every single institution we have. In fact, there is a story right now that the Trump administration is being urged to avoid salmon protection rules. Salmon have been on the Endangered Species Act for quite a long time up here in the Columbia Snake River area. And there is a group called the Snake River Irrigators Association who want the government to convene to exempt the salmon from the from being on the Endangered Species Act. You know, it's this whole thing of the anthropomorphic idea that we can dominate the planet and do whatever we want to do. So, by the way, if anybody wants to call in, please feel free. The number is 718-717-8106. I'd love to have a chat with you. As I said, I do not have a guest. It's going to be me speaking for the next hour. I have a series of stories about the nuclear industry and about Hanford that I can read if no one calls in. But, you know, as I pondered this idea that I've been on the radio now for 2 years, and what difference has it really made? And what difference does it really make? And this whole idea about the alternative media, we're like the tea kettle. If we didn't have the alternative media, we'd probably be out in the streets demanding real change. I mean, I don't see people out in the streets up in Hanford or at the Columbia Generating, you know, here in Eugene or anywhere around any nuclear facility. 3 or 4 old people always show up. Maybe 10 will show up. You know, people who don't have to work anymore, who have the time to go out and protest, make a public statement. And then we have so-called anti-nuclear activists going after each other. You know, either you're not establishment enough or you're too establishment. The disharmony in the anti-nuclear movement is off the charts, and boy, don't they love it, which is why I make an effort on this show to give voice to people of, you know, different points of view, although there are a few people that I just cannot ask on my show because they're too incendiary. They exaggerate the truth, consider themselves to be experts, and then there is just absolutely no humility when they're not experts. They know a lot about it, but they're not experts. I mean, people that work against the nuclear industry directly are busy working against the nuclear industry. So they don't even respond to my phone calls, which, you know, I'm like white on rice. I keep asking. At some point, they will say yes, or at some point, I'm going to go away, which is, frankly, a conversation that I'm having with myself. Like, why am I doing this? This month, we have a whole list of people. Heidi Lambert's going to be back on. Erica Dugan, who is really a victim of fracking in Oklahoma. And, you know, in fracking, the secret ingredient out there is nuclear waste. That's what they use to blow up the ground. You know, we're going to be speaking with Thomas Ackerman on Thursday, and we'll be talking about probably conscience, doing the right thing, what we need to do. I'll be speaking with Wendy Lumetta from St. Louis and Donna Gilmore. So we have a list of people that's coming up in the next month. And these are all people that I've interviewed and interviewed several times to try to give them voice, to give them enough time for us to really explore the issues so that people understand the gravity of the situation. I have actually gone to the extinction level events. I mean, the end times prophecies, where we see mass amounts of animals dying every week. At one point, I was going to catalog it and make an Excel spreadsheet and found that there's like 1 million birds every month that we're losing for the last 2 years. 1 million birds around the world, folks. 1 million birds. Untold fish amounts. We can't even count the fish. So I guess the question is, what's the point? I guess that's that nihilistic point of view of what's the point, right? But I do want to read to you some of these stories. I had 14 of them pulled up, and right as I was getting on air, of course, they all blanked out. So if I'm going to read one. The big one that really got me started that I really do want to talk about is at Hanford. There's two at Hanford that are really affect us here in the Northwest. And one was about the plutonium found on the highway, and the other one is about the multiple violations that are found at the Columbia Generating Station. So let me read this. I'll hold on. I'm going to read this one first. I'll read this one first because the other one went away. Multiple violations found at state's nuclear power plant. This is by King 5, of course, Susanna Frame, who was our hero up at King 5. And she has been reporting, she reported on last week that there was nuclear waste found on the highway, plutonium, which I don't even think that ought to be news. We should know that that's going to happen, but this is definitely news. Multiple violations found at the state's nuclear power plant. This is serious. Washington State Department of Health last month suspended indefinitely the shipment of radioactive waste from the state's sole nuclear power plant. Internal documents obtained by the King 5 investigators reveal that the Columbia Generating Station, operated by the publicly owned Energy Northwest, made repeated errors in its shipping of radioactive waste in violation of the state's federal and state regulations dating back to 2014, folks. There have been multiple deficiencies with the shipment of radioactive waste, which has resulted in noncompliance with federal, U.S. ecology, and the state of Washington requirements, wrote Robbie Peek of Energy Northwest Quality Services Supervisor in a July 26 interoffice memo. Peek characterized the problems as, quote, significant, unquote, and wrote the pattern of errors has led to a, quote, loss of regulatory confidence. How do you like that? Loss of regulatory confidence. Additionally, incorrect details within the shipping manifest can increase risk to the health and safety of the public. Wow. The most recent event caused the DOH to revoke the plant's shipping rights for the third time in the last 3 years. So that means once a year, it gets revoked. In a July 26th letter from the DOH to Energy Northwest outlines what led to the temporary ban. Inspectors at the state's low-level radioactive waste dump found a July 20 shipment of waste was far more radioactive than was listed on the shipping manifest. So if they're doing that here, you wonder what they're doing somewhere else, huh? Inspections of your shipment revealed violations of the U.S. Ecology Radioactive Materials License and the Washington Administrative Code, wrote Kristen Schwab, DOH Office of Radiation Protection Waste Management Supervisor. Because of the nature of the violations found in this shipment, authorization to use the commercial low-level radioactive waste disposal site by Energy Northwest has been suspended indefinitely. The Columbia Generating Station is located approximately 10 miles outside of Richland on land leased at the Hanford site. Although located on the same reservation as the former Defense Nuclear Weapons Factory, the plant is not affiliated with Hanford. CGS has been producing electricity utilized throughout the Northwest since 1984. So it's been making anywhere from 4 to 10% of our energy. And we are spending billions of dollars on it. And we don't really have a choice because none of my water folks will even return my phone calls. Okay. I beg your pardon. Energy Northwest Chief Communication Officer Mike Powali downplayed the July 20th incident. He described it as a paperwork mix-up. The driver was given the wrong manifest, said Powali. First and foremost, there is no public health and safety issue now. The interoffice memo authored by Peak called for an immediate stop work order, meaning all shipping of radioactive materials off-site must be ceased until certain corrective actions are taken. The stop work is in addition to the state's action and is a highly unusual step for the company to take. Peak described 12 separate shipping deficiencies, 12 from October 14th to July 17th. Corrective actions taken to date have been ineffective at preventing reoccurrence, wrote Peak. The most serious violation occurred in November 2016 when federal regulators from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission issued a notice of violation after contaminated filters arrived at the dump site measuring a radiation level 7 times greater than that what was listed on the shipping manifest. The dump is also located at the Hanford site. That violation set off a series of inspections and additional NRC oversight. It also made the CGS only one of 14 plants out of 99 across the country on the NRC watch list. So there are 14 out of 99 on the NRC watch list. Wow. This is unbelievable. You would think they would have learned their lesson and made corrections considering they were just cited by the NRC and spent several months fighting the NRC over additional oversight for the very same issue, said our friend Chuck Johnson, director of the Joint Task Force on Nuclear Power for Physicians for Social Responsibility. Physicians for Social Responsibility is a longtime critic of nuclear power. Nuclear policy expert Robert McCullough reviewed documents related to the shipping errors on King 5. McCullough has advised the Congress and the Department of Energy on energy issues for many years. He said the July 20th incident by itself doesn't appear to impose any risk, but the totality of problems dating back to 2014 is of concern. Right, we need to be concerned, but there's no... See, this is where people kind of get really mad at these nuclear experts. Because they're sitting here telling us that there's no risk. It doesn't pose any risk. Yes, there's a risk. We're living in a nuclear polluted world, folks. And it is guys like this. I mean, as much as Robert McCullough is a respected scientist and he's spent his life work doing this, to tell us there's no risk is completely blindsiding us and gaslighting. There is a risk. We're living in a risky world full of nuclear pollution already. Okay, enough of that. I'm going to go back to the story. Quote, the good news is, as far as I've seen, none of these things are immediately dangerous. But the bad news is that we're getting quite a list of them, and it takes time. And it's time to take a good hard look at what we are doing there, said McCullough. Really? Finally? We're reaching the point where we're seeing enough of these problems. We've begun to worry to see if the plant is being sufficiently maintained. And no, Mr. McCullough, we can just tell you straight up, we know the plant is not being sufficiently maintained. And the reason that we know that is there have been scientific studies that was produced in 2013 that showed that the IAE safety culture model, which is used at every single nuclear facility around the world, has never been empirically tested and up until 2013. And when it was empirically tested in 2013, it failed miserably. There were 8 markers for safety. They failed on 7, and one only passed at 50%. So we already know that we're not being managing any of this safely. And as we've seen, the increased risk in cancer, diabetes, schizophrenia, maybe that's what's wrong with America. Maybe we're all just turning schizophrenic because of the freaking nuclear waste all over the place. Everyone's really literally going crazy. I know it certainly is making me feel like I need it, man. I'm like, woo, good thing for therapists. Let's just put it to you that way. Okay, let's get back to this story because we have a little bit more. It's no secret that CGS has been under pressure to cut costs. McCullough said understaffing is most likely to blame for the pattern of errors. Yeah, let's just don't hire enough people because, you know, who cares about that nuclear waste? We're all going to die anyways. My experience with the nuclear plant is the staff is very competent, very competent, very competent. However, they're in cost reduction mode, so this would indicate to me that this particular department has lost staff and the remaining staff are unable to keep up with the administrative load, said McCullough. A veteran Energy Northwest employee who did not want to be identified for fear of retaliation said the problems can be traced back to the company's top officials. Fear of retaliation. That's what we have in this country. Fear of retaliation. Everybody just sits by quietly so they can take in their $150,000, $200,000 paycheck at these nuclear power plants and don't speak out for fear of retaliation. And it's not just simple retaliation. We're talking death threats like Glenn Woodford got at a 4th of July party when somebody told him, if you don't stop, you're going to learn a lesson. I mean, that was a death threat in my view, what happened to Glenn Woodford. And thank God for his courage because it hasn't stopped him. This is a leadership issue because it's a repeated problem, said the employee. Stop work orders are very rare and very serious. It means something that is important is going very wrong. That should show that this is a systematic issue that leadership can't fix for whatever reason. Even seemingly small errors take on new meaning at nuclear power plants because the stakes are so high. The worst case scenario is a Fukushima-like event when an earthquake and tsunami led to a nuclear power plant meltdown, explosions, and spewing radioactive material in 2011. They should have added ongoing spewing of radioactive materials in 2011. Now we don't think that's going on. We think we run plants well. We think we have lots of precautions. But what we're seeing here is the beginning of a flag that we don't have enough precautions, said McCullough. So McCullough's on the right side of the issue, but maybe it's because they're so closely related to this industry that they just downplay the catastrophic. I just don't get why they don't speak more strongly about this. Energy Northwest Poali underscored how safe the CGS is. He said the nuclear industry has the best track record of any other energy producer, such as coal and hydropower. Really? Really, guy? That's because you guys lie the best. The nuclear industry has the safest record environmentally. What? And with regard to the industrial safety than any other industry in the United States or in the world. Man, this guy sounds like Trump. No doubt he voted for Trump because everything's perfect with Trump, right? There's a reason we're the safest industry because we take these things seriously, said Paoli. We're not shipping toys down the road. This is serious business for us. Wow. This is where I start to spit nails, you guys. The DOH said the suspension of shipping rights could last approximately 45 days. If you wish to reestablish dump site use privileges, you must allow point of origin inspections conducted by the state of Washington with all expenses paid by Energy Northwest, wrote Schwab. The department is also requiring you to participate in a management meeting after receipt of your root cause investigation and description of corrective actions. If there is no response within 90 days, your site permit will be terminated. Yeah, I don't think they're too afraid. That's the issue, is they're not really afraid. They could care less. Let's see what this letter. I'm going to see if I can open the letter in a different tab. Bing, bing, bing. See what this says. This is the DOH suspension letter. How long is it? Page and a half. Not very much. Washington, State of Washington Department of Health, Office of Radiation Protection, 111 Israel Road Southeast, P.O. Box 47827, Olympia, Washington, 98504-7827. Their phone number, if you want to call them, is 800-833-6388, just in case anybody's wanting to give these guys a poke in the eye. So this was a letter dated July 26, 2017, to Mike Davis of Energy Northwest. Dear Mr. Davis, this letter refers to a shipment of radioactive waste material sent to the commercial low-level radioactive disposal site operated by U.S. Ecology Washington Incorporated near Richland, Washington. The material listed as radioactive material, low specific activity LSA2, fissile accepted, on shipment number 17-51 was shipped on July 20th, 2017 and received on July 20th, 2017. Inspections of your shipment revealed the following violations of U.S. Ecology Radioactive Material License WN1019-2 and the Washington Administrative Code. Okay. Container number or description, the summary of violations. Liner number 170840T, summary of violations. Washington Administrative Code, blah, 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 requiring in part that waste containers received at the facility do not show an increase in the external radiation levels recorded on the manifest within instrument tolerances. Contrary to these requirements, during the manifest review and the unpacking of this Class A unstable container, it was observed that the measured surface radiation level was 1.1 rem an hour on contact, and the manifest recorded surface radiation level was 12 millirem per hour. Wow, that's a huge difference. 1.1 rem per hour on contact. The manifest, which this guy said, oh, we just had the wrong manifest, 12 millirem per hour. So they had the wrong manifest. They were shipping something with 1.1 rem per hour. Rem. I mean, this is just so insane. Shipment number 17-51 states that in part certification, an authorized representative of the waste generator, processor, or collector shall certify by signing and dating the shipment manifest that the transport materials are properly classified, described, packaged, marked, labeled, and in proper condition for transportation to the applicable regulations of the Department of Transportation, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and the Department of, and to the Department. Wow. Contrary to this requirement, during the manifest review of this Class A shipment, the following errors were observed. NRC Form 540 Block 5, incorrect container. NRC Form 540, 541, 541A, incorrect total shipment activity. NRC 541 Column 6, incorrect container type. NRC Form 541-7, incorrect container volume. NRC Form 541 Column 8, incorrect container weight. NRC 541 Column 15, incorrect isotopes activities for CO58, CZN65, MN54, CM242, and FE55. So excuse me, folks, but I'm going to find out what those mean. CO58. So let's ask Mr. Googles. -58. So what that says. And that's an isotope of cobalt. Cobalt 58. That's what that is. Can you believe this? Cobalt 58, zirconium 65. What's MN? I don't know what MN 54 is. MN 54. Oh, manganese 54. One day scheme, two nuclear data. So this is highly radioactive, folks. They just like, oops, we put the wrong thing on there. CM242. CMC242. This is so outrageous that this just is allowed to happen. And our children are exposed to this. In fact, we're exposed to it. Forget the children. Like, it sucks that we're being exposed to this. I don't know. Curium, C-U-R-I-U-M. It's a transuranic radioactive element with the CM atomic number 96. Oh, my God. So I never even heard of curium. C-U-R-I-U-M, curium. This is so outrageous. Produced. It's produced by bombarding uranium or plutonium with neutrons in a nuclear reactor. One ton of nuclear fuel contains 20 grams of curium. This is so beyond outrageous that this is what they just like, oh, well, gee, that's interesting that that happened. As if we're just supposed to just go, huh. And you know what? That's what most people do. That's how I started this show. Most people like care less. So it's iron 55. Fe is an iron isotope that also comes out of the plutonium. So how do we get it? This is so outrageous. You know, I have to say, this is something that I actually never really wanted to even think about. And we shouldn't actually have to think about this. This is not really our responsibility. It's the responsibility of scientists. And here we have a scientist, Mr. McCullough, saying, gee, it's just not that dangerous, or it's beginning to become a concern. If anybody's even looked at just go to Google Maps and pull up Hanford on the Google Maps and put it in the terrain view so you can see the decimation. That is, Hanford is the most dangerous site on the entire planet, and probably even worse than Fukushima. Who knows? I mean, who wants to have that contest? Which site is worse, Fukushima or Hanford? You know, and they're moving on in Japan, acting like it's no big deal. Wow. So there's story after story after story of these things, folks. I've been doing this for 2 years now. Every day, 3 days a week, then 5 days a week. Now I've taken it back down to 4 days a week so that I can actually do school a little bit better and do my work a little bit better. And for what? That's kind of where I'm at right now. For what? Fukushima Facts posts up my videos, the videos that are listed on YouTube every single day. Maybe they'll get 100 views. That means 100 people listening out of billions could care. This is the thing that kind of is getting to me. People could care less if our children are dying or getting sick. Like, all these, quote, water protectors, they're ignoring the fact that we have tritium in our water, that we have nitrates in our water. They're worried about black oil because we can see the black oil. But we have poisoned water already. And it's not hyperbole. I mean, this is why Kevin Blanch still spits nails. If you follow him on YouTube, he's still putting out his videos every day, ranting and raving about the salmon that's declining here. People make really hyperbolic claims that there's no life on the West Coast. Yes, there's life. There is life. But it's diminishing, just like it's diminishing across the country. And for them to tell us that chemtrails is going to save us is just adds insult to injury. I mean, this is where a lot of people who are, quote, activists get into it. What's the most important thing to be active about? You know, some people feel like it's chemtrails. I used to think that Fukushima was the most urgent thing until I freaking learned about Hanford. I mean, Fukushima's big, 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 but Hanford's still spewing out its own radioactive waste nonstop. Just go ask the Native Americans that live up in Washington. I mean, I had Hope on here a few times, and, you know, she did her best to stop these people, and they are still going after her because she refuses to shut up. She lives up there, and she refuses to shut up. So at what point are there going to be masses of people saying, we've had enough, we're not going to take it anymore? Actually, what seemed to happen over the weekend was there was a group of people that said, yeah, we're going to take it. In fact, we're going to shove everybody back into the 1950s box. You know, I personally think, and you know this quite well, that Donald Trump is a traitor. I think he's a CIA asset. Pinochet 2.0 set about to destroy every single one of our institutions, including the office of the presidency, with his lack of respect for the office of the presidency. Put his daughter in at the G20. What an insult. Imagine if Clinton had left Chelsea sitting at the G20 while he went and met with somebody. She went and met with someone. I mean, this is just, We're getting our comeuppance here in America. And you know what? We have a military that wants to keep spending money on the military because they consider everything in the world our interest. All the assets in the world is the United States' interest so that we can have what? Nonstop electricity? So that the ultra rich can have their ultra rich lifestyles? It's certainly not about helping the average individual or the middle class. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. I guess it's cognitive dissonance, you know, saying you want to quit smoking and going out and buying a pack of cigarettes every single day. But, oh, I'm going to quit smoking and then buying a pack of cigarettes. I mean, we have just been trained to keep doing what we're doing and keep ourselves. We get up in the morning and, you know, like listening to this podcast, people that listen to this podcast that wake up in the morning and turn on our podcast, are they more active? Are they calling their senators? Are they calling their congressmen? Are they taking to the streets? Have they taken their money out of banks? I mean, are they doing something or anything? I mean, really, seriously, at some point, we're not going to have a choice but to live off the grid because there is going to be no grid. I mean, it is only a matter of time before a massive earthquake hits here on the West Coast. Massive. And if Oregon, you know, from what I've seen, if something happens on the Juan de Luca fault, we could set off the whole Cascadia fault line, which would crack off the whole freaking West Coast and probably Yellowstone. So the whole thing has got bluey, man. I mean, bye-bye civilization. And yet, let's see what we're talking about today. So you see where I'm coming here after 2 years of doing this on the radio? I used to think it would make a difference. If anybody wants to give me a call, the number is 718-717-8106. And no, I'm not going to go buy a gun. I'm just not going to participate in the violence in the world of the industrial military complex. I'm just not going to participate with that. I think it's completely wrong. And we can live outside of that. We have a big, beautiful planet that is readily being eaten up by contaminants and pollution. And everybody wants to pretend like, I don't know, that it's not happening. And yet right here in the Northwest, we have a power plant that we cannot get our legislators to shut down. And this letter from the DOH to the Department of Energy Northwest outlines what they have to do. But you know what they're saying? Oh, it was just a mix-up, a little manifest mix-up. Okay, so let's move on to a second story because this is quite interesting. This is August 11th, 2017 by Ralph Vardabedian. What is the name of it? From the Los Angeles Times. Big newspaper. I can't believe it actually made it in, but it was online. The Idaho National Lab created a, quote, wonder fuel, unquote. Now it's a radioactive waste that won't go away. As if any of them will go away. I mean, plutonium's half-life is 24,500 years, and then it turns into americium, whose half-life is 700,000 years. So is that ever going away? Not in our consciousness, that's for sure. I mean, this is how sick the nuclear industry is. It makes you really want to have, like, Mother Earth to, like, just create these big, gigantic earthquakes and swallow up all these, like, offensive nuclear power plants and just, boom, start over and let the species on our planets live. Maybe 1,500, 3,000 humans will survive. That's optimism for you, folks. That's where my optimism is grown. So, yeah, this is why it's probably good that I'm interviewing people, because people out there actively engaging in their own communities doing things. It's like when I get involved with the community rights folks and I'm actually talking to my neighbors and getting signatures, I come home feeling really energized because I feel like we can do something. But it just means that I feel that way. It doesn't mean that anything's happening. because all those neighbors whose doors I knock on and say, hey, can you sign this thing for community rights? They give us their signature. They go back and turn on Fox News and MSNBC, you know, two sides of the same fascist coin, which is what Clinton and Trump were, two sides of the same fascist coin. Okay, let's get to Mr. Ralph Vardabedian's article, August 11, 2017. In the early days of atomic energy, the federal government powered up an experimental reactor in Idaho with an ambitious goal, create a, quote, wonder fuel for the whole nation. The reactor was one of the nation's first breeder reactors designed to make its own new plutonium fuel while it generated electricity, solving what scientists at the time thought was a looming shortage of uranium for power plants and nuclear weapons. It went into operation in 1964 and kept the lights burning at the sprawling National Laboratory for three decades. But enthusiasm eventually waned for the breeder reactor program owing to safety concerns, high costs, and an inadequate supply of uranium. Today, its only legacy is 26 metric tons of highly radioactive waste. What to do with that spent fuel is causing the federal government deepening political, technical, legal, and financial headaches. Aha, in comes the Nuclear Waste Policy Act of 2017, in which they're going to privatize it and allow those corporations to start dumping it in rivers near you, folks. Unless we stop that. So here we go. The reactor was shut down in 1994 in a legal settlement with Idaho regulators. The next year, the Department of Energy pledged to have the waste treated and ready to transport out of the state by 2035. The chances of that happening now appear slim. A special treatment plant is having so many problems and delays, it could take many decades past the deadline to finish the job. The process doesn't work, said Edwin Lindman, a physicist at the Union of Concerned Scientists, who has documented the problems in a new report. It turned out to be harder to execute and less reliable than they promised. That is the story of nuclear energy. The delays have fueled a massive increase in costs, again, another story of nuclear energy, which were originally estimated at $500 million, but the current cleanup rate would hit $1 billion, Lyman said. The waste is one of many unusual radioactive concoctions that came out of federal weapons and civil power research programs and now require complex technologies to treat. Many of the cleanup efforts, like the one in Idaho, are years or even decades behind schedule, reflecting practices that were far too optimistic when it came to technology, cost management, and management know-how. Jim Owendoff, the acting chief of the Energy Department's Environmental Management Program, ordered a 45-day review of the entire $6 billion a year radiation cleanup effort. Wow. What I am looking at is how we can be more timely in our decision-making, he said in the department newsletter. The Idaho reactor, located at the 890-square-mile Idaho National Laboratory, was designed to produce electricity while it breeds new fuel by allowing fast-moving neutrons to convert non-fissionable uranium into fissionable plutonium. But the complexities of the breeders led to safety problems. Only one breeder reactor ever went into commercial operation in the U.S., the Enrico Fermi 1 near Detroit, which suffered a partial core meltdown in 1966. Construction of a breeder reactor in the Clinch River in Tennessee was stopped in 1983. Ultimately, the nation never faced a shortage of uranium fuel, and now the Energy Department is spending billions of dollars to manage its surplus plutonium. Unlike uranium, the wonder fuel, as the lab called it, was bonded to sodium to improve heat transfer inside the reactor. The sodium has presented an unusual waste problem. Sodium is a highly reactive element that can become explosive when it comes in contact with water and is potentially too unstable to put in any future underground dump, such as the one proposed at Yucca Mountain in Nevada. To remove the bonded sodium, the government used a complex process known as pyroprocessing, which was developed to also separate plutonium from the spent fuel. The spent fuel parts from the reactor are placed in a chemical bath and subjected to an electrical current, which draws off the sodium onto another material. The process is similar to electroplating a kitchen faucet. Back in 2000, the project managers estimated an environmental report that they could treat 5 metric tons annually and complete the job in 6 years. That was in the year 2000. But privately, the department estimated that it would take more than twice that long, according to internal documents that Lyman obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. So we have to get Freedom of Information Act just to get half the truth out of these lying bastards. Okay, it's not going to cuss. Even that was unrealistic because it assumed that the treatment plant could work around the clock every day of the year without downtime for maintenance or allowance of breakdowns. Lyman found that during 1 year, 2012, no waste was processed at all. Since the project began 17 years ago, 15% of the waste has been processed, an average of 1/4 of a metric ton per year. That's 20 times slower than was originally expected, a pace that would stretch into the next century, long past the 2035 deadline. The problem with the Brita reactor waste is that just one of the many environmental issues at the lab located on the high desert plateau near Idaho Falls. The federal government gifted the Idaho lab with additional radioactive waste for decades. After the highly contaminated Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant near Denver was shut down in 1993, the waste was shipped to Idaho. The Navy has been sending its spent nuclear fuel from nuclear-powered ships. And it doesn't say it stopped, did it? The lab is dealing with tons of waste containing artificial elements, so-called transuranic waste. The Energy Department promised to move an average of 2,000 cubic meters to a special dump in New Mexico, but missed that goal for several years because of an underground explosion at the dump, and he's talking about the WIPP plant in New Mexico, which is really basically at a standstill. It had collapsed and is still, I believe, leaking americium, although they're denying it. It is doing it. The Energy Department declined to answer specific questions about the breeder waste cleanup, citing the sensitivity of nuclear technology. It blamed the slow pace on inadequate funding, but it was said it was still trying to meet the deadline. When the implementation plan for the treatment of the spent fuel was developed in 2000, there was very limited nuclear energy research and development being performed in the United States, a department spokesman said in a statement. The funding for this program has been limited in favor of other research and development activities. The department remains strongly committed to the treatment of this fuel to meet its commitments to the state of Idaho. Susan Burke, who monitors the cleanup at the laboratory for the state's Department of Environmental Quality, said the state will continue to demand that the waste be ready for shipment out of Idaho by 2035. Yeah, keep demanding, lady. That's going to make it work. The Energy Department is doing its best, is doing the best it can, but our expectation is that they will have to meet a settlement agreement, she said. Idaho watchdogs are skeptical. There's some bad faith here on the part of the Energy Department, said Beatrice Brailsford, a nuclear program director at the Snake River Alliance, a group that monitors the lab. The department is misleading the public. Not much information has been given out, but enough to be skeptical that the technology works well enough to meet the settlement. Lab officials declined to comment. This is just... like, seriously, a few more paragraphs. Lyman said he was determined to explore the Idaho program in light of increasing interest in the scientific and regulatory communities in advanced nuclear reactors, including breeder reactors, and what he believed was misleading information by advocates. He presented a technical paper about pyroprocessing at a conference held in July by the Atomic Energy Agency, International Atomic Energy Agency. Wyman said he believes the Energy Department has little chance of success in the program. They're just blowing smoke, he said. It is a failure and they can't admit it because they don't have a backup plan that would satisfy the state. Well, isn't that just how it works everywhere with nuclear? Nuclear is nothing but a big, fat lie. That is really the whole thing about all of this. And they just don't tell us. That's the issue. I mean, when I first got involved with this 5 years ago, when I first began to sponsor Kevin Blanch, our idea was to go around the country, get people outraged and get them worked up and make them see. But you know what? We can't even get people worked up about Jack in this country. The freaking Nazis are taking over. We have a Nazi in the White House and under the name of Gorko or Gorky or whatever his name is, one of Trump's advisors. We have Steve Bannon, who's a known Stalinist, who said his whole idea is to destroy every institution in the United States, which they are steadily doing. And Trump, who can't barely read the notes he's being given. He's just the laziest, fattest, misogynistic, bigoted, racist pig I've ever met in my life. You know, I mean, there is some idea within the resistance to just not say his name, but you can't help it. What do we want to call him? Traitor T? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to call him except the bigoted, fat, racist pig. He deserves to be impeached and actually jailed for what he's done. Because he personally had a hand in ignoring these people, and that woman who got killed yesterday died at his hands. Just like all the people that are dying in the hands of the nuclear industry, all these people that have been, I mean, for our presidents to stay hands off on the nuclear industry and to allow the CIA to tell them that they can't see information about certain programs because they don't have the authority, what does that tell us? That the military is running our country and running the world. And now all of Trump's advisors are military men? I mean, this is so outrageous. We have had a soft coup in this country brought in by none other than traitor Trump. I mean, no doubt things are going to get way worse. I mean, what does an abuser do? Beats the daylights out of his partner. Sees her in the hospital, brings her flowers, says he promises never to do it again. 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, does the same thing again. I mean, Trump is going to get worse. I guarantee you that something big and bad is happening because he's bringing us flowers this week and next week, especially as the financial disclosure comes out that he is financially indebted to Russia, to all of the oligarchs that are directly linked to Putin. You know, he has the power to kill our children, and he is going to do it because he has no regard for human life. I mean, this is why they love him. This is why he put Rick Perry in charge, because he loves incompetence. Because when you have incompetent people, then you can't blame yourself. You can say, well, it's their fault. That was their job to know it. Let me pull up this other story. There was another story I wanted to read to you. I don't think I'll get to all of it, but it was about the nuclear waste, the plutonium that is coming all over the place in Hanford. And it's really disgusting that it's not even being covered. It doesn't even take cover. It's Hanford, 5 days ago, plutonium found in air samples near the public highway. That's the title of it, folks. That'll tell you where we're at. Now, if there's things coming out at the public highway, where do you think that's going to go? It's going to go everywhere. It's in the air. What's that song? It's in the water. It's in the air. It's everywhere. And yet, you know, we have this ongoing, we're just supposed to just accept that we have nuclear radioactive waste poisoning our life. And we do now live in a nucleated world. That's just the way it's supposed to go. That's what they want us to accept. I don't accept it. And I think it's completely incorrect and harmful. Radioactive particles were detected near the Rattlesnake Barricade, where hundreds of Hanford workers come and go to work every day just off Mile Highway 240. The radiation is believed to have originated 3 miles away at the plutonium finishing plant, a highly contaminated structure that is being demolished as part of the overall Hanford cleanup project. On June 8th, workers were removing a large portion of the building, and during the work, alarms sounded after radioactive particles were detected outside the containment zone. That was that big collapse of everything. And this is a story dated August 9, 2017 by Susanna Frame, once again, the only person in the country actually genuinely covering the radioactive waste at these nuclear power, at our nuclear facility here on the West Coast. What is it going to really take for people to actually ingest the idea that these radioactive contaminants are everywhere and that we have got to demand accountability? People are going to stay silent as our Congress members just rubber stamp more money to build more planes, more jets, more bombs. Bombs that actually use this nuclear waste to drop on innocent people in the Middle East and in Africa, and to fund, so-called terrorist groups, you know, that whole word terrorism. Interesting how that whole word has popped up in the last 20 years. It used to just be called straight up war. Now it's called terrorism. All war is terrorism. Every war is terrorism. That's what war is. War is terrorism. You drop bombs on unexpected people to get them to comply. It's not about safety and security. Our government is feeding into the people who are, you know, so-called threatening us. And the reason that we're threatening them is we want their assets. We want their stuff. We want their minerals. We want their oil. We don't really particularly want their land because we have to maintain it. But we want their stuff. And we call that our national interest. What kind of people, what kind of nation, what kind of world have we developed? I don't know. Like, to be honest, I guess what marks this 2-year anniversary is just my absolute disgust with the complacency of people who just refuse to get off their rear ends to go out and stop the genocide of our planet. You know, Guy McPherson says that there's no stopping the genocide, that the only thing left is love. And actually, I guess that is true. The only thing that is left is love. And it's going to be love that's going to stop, that's going to motivate us to make an effort, to make a difference. If we can make a difference, if there's even a difference to be made. I don't know. I don't know if there is a difference to be made. Tomorrow we're going to have on our show Heidi Lambert, who's going to be talking about the unseen effects of mental illness from nuclear contamination, which she knows quite well about. I'm going to pull out Dr. John Goffman's books on mental illness and see if I can quote some things. But this would be from 1982 when he wrote this book. So this is how long we've been fighting it. Like McCullough said in that article I read, well, we're concerned, but not that concerned. It's bad, but just not that bad. Go back to sleep, folks. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, well, I don't know. I would suggest to put your courage feet on. Take some action. Do what you can. Do some tapping, because that'll help you stay calm. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Ciao.
Hey, this is JJ.